Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Hour number three, live. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. You know what I've noticed, Joy Taylor? And this has happened over the last, you know, multiple of years.
What's that?
You cannot buy a snack without chocolate, a power bar without chocolate. You know, they're all healthy. Have this power bar. They're all lacquered in chocolate. They're all just candy. But they tell you they're organic or that there's no sugar. You cannot get anything, any snack in America now without chocolate on it. And I like dark chocolate. But it's like all these power bars. I go to a store yesterday. I look through all these power bars. Like, is there anything in here that's just fruit and healthy? Is there just a blueberry bar?
If you have one,
send it to me. I'll try it and I'll give you a pub on the air. I'll make it sound authentic so none of us get in trouble.
I mean, these protein snack bars have been accused of this for a while. They have, like, lots of sugar. That's why I like just eat a Snickers. It's basically the same thing.
It's the same thing with a little more protein. They inject some sort of inorganic protein powder.
I'm not a huge, discipline eater. You know, I work out and then, like, I try to eat healthy a couple days a week and then I do what I want. But, you know, the whole protein thing,
I don't know
how much protein do you actually need? Like, everything's like all like extra protein.
Well,
like,
it's the old Ellen DeGeneres had a great joke about that. She went vegan and she said everybody came up to her and said, "Well, how are you getting your protein?" And she said, "That's such a weird question. I mean, nobody ever walks up to you and says, how do you get your riboflavin?" how are your riboflavin levels? All right. Everybody's always worried about like there's not protein in beans and stuff. Like, how do you get your protein?
Like, it's only in meat. And listen, I am in no way a vegan or vegetarian at all.
Nor am I.
Lots of meat. No problem with it.
Yeah.
But like, if I wasn't going to, I would just, I don't know, probably go to a nutritionist and ask them.
Sort of like depending on an epidemiologist for Delta variant news. Like, that's crazy, right?
I don't know. I just like to make my life easier, really.
Yep, so boom.
I just choose to ask people who know more about particular subjects for their advice and information. And then if I know they're experts, I just listen to them.
So, by the way, later in Best for Last, there was a note in an NBA reporter's column that most GMs still favor LeBron as the number one player in the league. In a winner-take-all game, who would you take?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
David Ortiz is putting his money on the line on the Fox Bet Super 6 app. Scan the QR code below, download the app, and enter the Field of Dreams contest for a chance to win $10,000 of Big Poppy's money.
Good stuff. So Josh Allen just signed a monster deal with the Buffalo Bills, and I think it's wonderful because I think the people in Buffalo love their football team. It reminds me very much of Kansas City. And you can tell when a franchise loves their team because a lot of Buffalo fans have sat through bad teams in awful weather, and they are there, and they take pride in the fact that they're tough. And Kansas City has historically been less awful in for long stretches, but Kansas City fans similarly, it's cold and windy and they're there. And I like to see these franchises where fans really deeply care. And Eric Woods, a former Pro Bowl center not long ago for the Buffalo Bills, 9 years in the NFL, joining us live. He'll be doing the Bills-Detroit game tomorrow as he does all their games. So when Josh Allen, you know, I said this the other day, Eric, is that he didn't go to a high school powerhouse, Fireball High School. He didn't go to a powerhouse college. So he didn't have what I would call world-class coaching, right? Then he goes to the NFL, and he finally gets a really good GM in Brian Daboll, Sean McDermott. Go back to Josh Allen's first year, because he struggled against good teams. I mean, he really struggled. Was there ever a moment that you wondered, he's just too wild, he's too inaccurate? Was there a moment for you that you didn't know if this was going to work?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And there's never been a progression like Josh Allen's had when you look at accuracy numbers his first 3 years in the league. He goes from last in the NFL his first year to last in the NFL his second year, and he's top three last year. That's just never been right. done in the history of the NFL. And so, of course, there's times where you think, can he eliminate the big mistakes? Because with him, there was always the splash plays. There was always
yes.
those big highlight reel plays that got you really excited. But in the National Football League, it's about making the free throws, being accurate, and moving the sticks on a consistent basis. So what they've done up at Buffalo, you mentioned the coaching and having that stability around him. For young quarterbacks, that's as big as anything. And then he takes his craft extremely serious in the offseason, has worked with Jordan Palmer all offseason since he's gotten the NFL to try and develop better habits.
You know, Sean McDermott, because it's small market Buffalo and because, you know, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Cleveland, there's these teams that are they're flashy. You know, Baker's flashy and Mahomes, and we don't talk a lot of Buffalo. And it was like last year I was like so into this team. What does McDermott do? Again, let's go back to almost the Josh Allen discussion. When did you know with McDermott, being around him at practice, team playing, being around him, that you were like, boy, this guy, he's not winning yet, but he's really good. What are his qualities?
Well, I'll say this. The second he got into Buffalo, he tried to establish a different culture than we had prior. It was a culture built on love and respect, and he's a player's coach, but there's a ton of accountability, and he laid out the core values of the team, and this is what we're going to stand for. And then he came in, so he was there my final year in the NFL in 2017. So I played for seven head coaches in 9 years with the Buffalo Bills. Two were interim. Yeah, that might be an NFL record, but I played for seven head coaches in 9 years, and he was just a little bit different. His approach, his consistency on a day-to-day basis was just a little bit different. Well, then they come in, and they trade our previous three top draft picks in Marcell Dareus, Sammy Watkins, and Ronald Darby, get rid of them all, and then tell us we're not tanking. And he said, simply, we're looking for guys with a certain DNA, and these guys don't fit what we're trying to do moving forward. Well, that's the year that we break the 17-year playoff drought, the longest playoff drought in all of professional sports. And he's, like I said, he leads from the front. He's so consistent. He's so organized, truly cares about the guys. And you can see that on a game-to-game basis. The Buffalo Bills players, now it's a culture that's set, and they bring in the right types of guys, but they play harder
yeah.
than most teams that you watch on film.
Yeah, they really do. You know, it's when you look at all these young quarterbacks, I got Mac Jones tonight, and then I'm going to get Trey Lance over the weekend, and Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, and I'm really excited. Go back. So you played with all these coaches, and you had a bunch of different quarterbacks. What is a sign, Eric, that I'll be watching some of these young quarterbacks, and, I mean, everybody's going to get better, but is there anything I would see this week or tonight and go, ooh, I don't like that. Like I don't like that. That's a sign I don't like. Because even when Josh Allen was struggling, we were on this show, we were like, he is wild, like, but we always said there's a Big Ben thing here. Like, he's big and guys bounce off him. He's just wild, and he was wild at Wyoming. So that you can get better at that. Is there anything that you would see, though, when in your days in Buffalo, maybe here in the huddle or watch and think, I'm not sure that's correctable?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think it looks like different things to different players. When you watch Lamar Jackson his rookie year, and he's making guys miss like he did in college, that's a sign. Not everybody's going to be like that. Mac Jones tonight is not going to do the things that we saw Lamar Jackson do his rookie year. And when you look at guys, I mean, what I'm looking for a lot of times is accuracy, because in the National Football League, you have to be accurate with the football, and that's what we talked about earlier. At times early on, you were a little worried about Josh Allen's progression. But, you know, little things that you see in a locker room, when you see guys respond to a guy, you see guys rally around him. When you're talking about a quarterback, he's the leader of a franchise. You know, I've listened to your segment earlier on Dak Prescott. It's obvious when you watch Hard Knocks that he is the leader of that franchise. The whole organization treats him a certain way, and certain quarterbacks have that presence about them. And you saw it in Josh Allen, and it's going to be tough to tell from preseason games. You could get really down on certain quarterbacks early in their career. If you looked at Peyton Manning, just inducted into the Hall of Fame, Robert Saleh the other day mentioned it in his press conference in New York. He has a 71 quarterback rating his rookie year. There'd be a lot of things that scream to you about Peyton Manning that – maybe he's not going to cut in this league and he goes down as one of the greatest of all time. So there's a lot of that happens behind the scenes, especially with these young quarterbacks, that would give you those indications. But you're looking for big defining qualities. With Josh Allen, it was playmaking ability. It's this huge arm. Okay, can we reel him in? With Lamar Jackson, who's won an MVP and taken his team to the playoffs, you know, with him, it's the athleticism. But you're looking for some strong suits along the way.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We were talking about this earlier about how you enter the league matters. You were a first-round pick. You're going to get multiple chances. Gardner Minshew was the 178th player drafted. Baker Mayfield was number one. And this is not a shot at Baker. But if you look at their college and pro stats, they're literally identical. But the difference is Baker's played with better players in both the NFL and college. And in this preseason is fascinating because half this league is undrafted. There's going to be a lot of guys that a coach is going to have to cut a former second or third round pick, and an undrafted guy is going to make a team. Go back to your entire career. Give me a player that was either undrafted or a late round pick, because we're going to watch this the next weekend. And you knew instantly, oh, wow, he is way better than his draft spot.
Man, that's a great question. And I'm trying to think back to a number of guys. I mean, I'm thinking of what's hitting me initially is because we had to play him early on was a Jeff Toole out of Fresno State, who was a backup quarterback that played for a few years. And you knew early on that he could get the job done if he needed to. But a number of guys, he wasn't there when I was a rookie, but he had just came in from the Bengals. You look at a Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was a seventh round pick, still yeah. playing now. Still one of my best friends. But when he came into the Bills to be the backup to Trent Edwards, Ryan Fitzpatrick had a certain presence about him. The ball zipped off of his hands. His preparation was better than most, if not all, that I've ever been around. And guys like that stand out, and those are a couple that hit my brain immediately.
Yeah, seventh-round pick Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is still in the league. He's on his ninth team. It's almost two decades. He's starting for – he'll probably take some snaps tonight for Washington as they go up and play the Patriots in Foxborough. Eric Wood, 9 years, Bills broadcaster. It's great seeing you again, Eric.
Likewise, anytime, Herb.
You bet. Former Pro Bowler, good stuff today. Very good stuff. All right, Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
Well, it's been a little messy in New Orleans with Michael Thomas and the Saints.
Yeah, that's weird.
And the two sides are trying to work it out.
Thank you.
Thomas and Coach Sean Payton reportedly met recently to clear the air and discuss two major issues. First, Sean Payton's comments revealing his frustration with the timing of Thomas's ankle surgery. And second, the social media posts from Thomas suggesting that he was at odds with the team. Those talks have reportedly been very positive, and they are not seeking a split.
See, I think guys can do this. I think guys, we tend to be compartmentalizers. I think guys can have major disagreements and put them aside and just start over. Can women do that?
Yeah, that's like most of our existence.
Really?
Having to let stuff go and get over it. Now, we don't forget, but we are great compartmentalizers. Yes.
So you've had major disagreements with women.
Yes.
Met, hashed it out.
Oh, no. We don't meet and hash it out.
What do you do?
Oh, well, I'll speak for myself. I don't meet and hash it out.
What
do
you
do? We just go forward.
No meetings.
We just have to go forward. Listen, if it's friends, if it's personal, no. But if it's, we got to do business, like, yeah, we got to figure it out.
So you just went to Italy with a woman for 10 days. Did you ever fight?
No.
Not once?
No.
It disagree?
No. I don't travel with people that
with
I even remotely am going to possibly have a disagreement on. Certainly not in another country. We got to go. Things to do.
Have you ever gone travel with three women, not just one?
I've traveled with 16 women.
And you all got along?
No.
I was going to say, that's impossible.
but at the end of the day, you have to, when you're adults, you just do your thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to argue with somebody. If you don't want to come, stay home.
Listen, the guy is the number's four. You can
I wouldn't do that again.
No, you can travel with three guys for a weekend in Vegas. It's fine. Four guys, somebody will do something idiotic. There's always, you cannot go with four guys anywhere in America for over 48 hours. One of them's an idiot.
I mean, the length of time matters too. Like if you're traveling for that long, you don't want to have a big crew. But look, I think this is very positive, and it's kind of necessary because at the end of the day, they cannot move on from Michael Thomas. The number is insane. So they've got to sort it out.
Yeah, figure it out.
And I'm sure in their conversation, they're working through whatever the public issues were. And it's good that they're doing this now before it spiraled into being any worse.
They need him.
So Tom Brady has said for years that his goal was to play football until he's 45.
Yeah.
Other quarterbacks have followed suit, saying they hope to extend their career into their 40s. Mm-hmm. And Derek Carr, 30 years old, is the latest to say he feels like he could play for another 15 years.
I feel like I'm 20. You know, I think I honestly believe this, that like our generation, like the way that we've taken care of our bodies with football, I think like 30 is like the new 20, you know, like I feel like I could play another 15 years, like without a doubt. I honestly feel stronger, faster, better than I did when I first got to the NFL, you know, and that comes with more knowledge on how to train and how to eat and how to take care of your body. And that takes a little bit of money sometimes, but it's definitely worth it.
I can buy into this. I mean, we've been saying for some time now that athletes are coming into the sport differently. They're developing more quickly. You have a lot of more coaches and organizations recognizing the value of not only rehab and preventative measures for injuries, elongating guys' careers, but also paying attention to the mental side and the mental preparation that goes into sports as well. And that's why you're watching so much film at such a younger age. You're learning the process of the game at a younger age. A lot of kids are playing flag football instead of going right into pads at a younger age. So I don't see why this isn't going to become the trend. It's not going to be for everyone, but we aren't seeing the hits that we're seeing before. Quarterbacks are more protected than they've ever been, and organizations are seeing the value in protecting their players.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is a lot of guys used to retire because you talk to players. They're like, I'm just done with the grind of practice. Coaches have lightened up. Like, first of all, you don't hit nearly as much. Second of all, for a lot of veteran quarterbacks, I think the league has finally figured it out. When the CTE stories came out, it's like, hey, this could damage our game, like really revenue streams. And the NFL decided less upstairs hitting, kinder to players. We want our stars to play longer. It was a wake-up call for the league. Like, no more of this, be a man. It's like, no, beating on each other, not good. You just wrote a $1 billion check for that stuff. Not good. Let's clean the sport up. Let's get better equipment, less hitting. I think it's been a huge benefit to the NFL. Joy, it's amazing. Last year, Tampa was almost 19 games. Tampa was completely healthy at the end of the year. And if it was not for a left tackle for the Chiefs, they had lost their right tackle. They would have been fine at right tackle. When they lost their left tackle, you're done. But the last four or five Super Bowls, the teams are overwhelmingly healthy. Overwhelming. The year before, Kansas City and San Francisco, overwhelmingly healthy.
Yeah, and there's ways to prevent injuries now that we know that you can use. The technology for recovering from injuries is incredible. Now you have laser beams and all this these holistic ways of healing that don't require invasive surgery and, you know, all of this stuff. So I think that this will be the trend moving forward. Guys are going to play for longer.
Yeah.
And it won't be, you know, a countdown to when people are going to retire. And I don't think that we're going to see as much of the huge fall off with play for older players. Like, even Philip Rivers, we both were like, yeah, he's definitely going to retire, right? Like, no, he goes to a good organization with a good offensive line and has a kind of a productive year and does a good job with the Colts in an extra year that many of us didn't even think he was capable of. Like, you can really go to a good organization if you have stuff around you and play an extra year or two, which you couldn't do before.
Yeah.
So the Eagles. All right, so Nick Sirianni has been in no rush to officially name Jalen Hurts the starting quarterback.
What, which is remarkable. Just, is the organization trying to stunt his growth? You're pulling him from game. Name him the starter and let's go. It's embarrassing.
I don't get it. He did reveal that Hurts will get the nod against the Steelers in the preseason opener tonight.
Oh, thanks.
He also said the amount of playing time he'll get before Joe Flacco and Nick Mullins to take some snaps is still to be determined.
We're still talking through that every day. We don't have exactly, again, there's guys, everybody's in a little different scenario. So for me to say, hey, the starters are playing this many, it's everybody's got, we've discussed everybody, and everybody has their own little scenario that we're doing. That's why I don't want to tell you guys, this is how many series, because exactly what you're saying. If we go out and we have a 7-play drive, and then we reevaluate just like we do in a game. So, and if we go 3 and out, and then we reevaluate.
I'm not going to say anymore. I don't want to be a jerk.
Here's the thing.
I don't trust this organization.
What are you trying to accomplish?
We know who the starter is.
What is the win? Any situation you go into, what is the win, right? That's how I look at things. What is the win in not declaring Jalen Hurts the starter?
He's a second-round pick.
Pushing him like he doesn't feel like he earned it.
That's such a weird franchise.
It's the NFL. He's there. He's a quarterback. He's already been on the field. What are you going to do? You're going to make Joe Flacco the starter? No disrespect to Joe Flacco, but Joe Flacco's a backup quarterback at this point.
Oh, it's over.
You're not going to turn the team over to Jalen Hurts and find out what you have this year. They're rebuilding anyway.
I'm going to say it right now. They're not going to go 0-17, but they're going to be awful. And by the way, the two teams in this league I think could be absolutely pathetic, Houston and Philly. I think the Jets won't win a bunch of games, but they won't be pathetic.
Yeah.
Detroit, I don't think will win a bunch of games, but I think they'll play hard.
Yeah.
And that division, there's winnable games outside of going to Lambeau. There's winnable games. Philly and Houston to me, I think you're looking at like 3-14, 2-15.
I like for things to make sense, and this doesn't make any sense. And I think that there's value in establishing some confidence in your young quarterback. He doesn't need to earn the position over Nick Mullins and Joe Flacco. Like, it's Jalen Hurts. Give him the team. If he fails, he fails. But give him the opportunity to do so and act like you're behind him.
Yeah.
And didn't you already see how this worked out with Carson Wentz? I don't know.
This is ridiculous. Bad. This stuff's not that difficult. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
By the way, as Joy was talking about Derek Carr, I've always said, if you have a top 12 quarterback, you win the Super Bowl. I was just jotting stuff down. I think I have Derek Carr at 12. Yeah, that's where I have Derek Carr.
I think Derek Carr's a very capable quarterback.
Very capable. Very, doesn't have a huge arm, has a good arm. I've said, he reminds me a little of Tony Romo. He's not quite as athletic, but Tony Romo's arm was good enough. I have Mahomes, Brady, Russell, Aaron, Josh, Deshaun, Lamar, Herbert, Stafford, Matt Ryan, Dak, Carr. I'd maybe put Dak ahead of Matt Ryan. He's in that ballgame. Yeah, Dak's about 8-9, something like that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yanks Sox today. Field of Dreams game on Fox, your Discover card key matchup. They match all the cash back you earn on your credit card into your first year automatically with no limit. How's that? Discover.com/yes. So Zach Lowe covers the NBA, I think for ESPN. He's a big popular podcaster and stuff. And he had in one of his podcasts, one of his articles, he had a note, and Skip and Shannon talked about it a lot this morning, that LeBron is still viewed by over half the NBA's general managers. If you had a winner-take-all game, it's a game 7, who would you take? Who would you take as the player in a game 7, a winner-take-all? And LeBron, for half the general managers, was at least half would be the guy. So I'm going to give you my 10. Who would be my 10 through 1, my 10 guys I would take a game 7? I would start with Jason Tatum of the Celtics. And the reason I think he's still ascending, he's a little inconsistent sometimes, a little bit with his shooting, but he was the second leading scorer in the fourth quarter in the playoffs this year behind only Kevin Durant. So the thing I like about him, he is never reluctant late in games. He's a very aggressive kid who is always willing to take the shots. I'd put him – this shows you how many good players we have when he's 10. 9 would be Donovan Mitchell, who can play both ends of the floor. You know, the last 2 years in the playoffs, he's the leading scorer, 34 a game. When Mike Conley got hurt, and they really relied on Donovan Mitchell's offense, he delivered. Rudy Gobert doesn't score much either. So it's pretty impressive when everybody in the arena knows it's Donovan Mitchell. I thought he had an amazing postseason this year. I put Damian Lillard at 8 because I think he's a better pure shooter than Donovan Mitchell, but he's not as good a defender. He has been great in clutch games. Dame is 4-1 in games 6 or 7 in his career. He is next to Steph Curry, or maybe better than Curry, the best clutch player. Now, he's going to give a lot up on the defensive end. He's small, not much of a defender. So I put Harden at 7, a little bigger athlete. And I also think James, he's in his prime right now. I think James' ability to distribute this year was really impressive. When Kevin Durant got hurt, he got all these young net players and these kind of C-level players involved. I thought it was the first time I was really all in on Harden. I would put Luka 6, and you could go either way. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but I think Luka's going to take another step this year. He's only 22. So as good as Luka is, I think he's going to be in a little better shape. He's coming off that great 17-1 record in the international competition with Slovenia. And I think he'll be an even better player this year, whereas Harden, I think we've seen the best of James. Number 5, Steph Curry. He gives up a little bit on the defensive end. 6 of the last 9 years, he's been leading three-point shooter. He's been in a ton of big games. I may have him too low at 5. Again, can be a little erratic with a ball in his hands. He's got some turnovers, and he's not much of a defender. Always trust him in a big spot. 4, when he's healthy, Kawhi Leonard. He's such a great get-a-bucket, get-a-stop guy. Now, again, we know he's going to be hurt. He's not going to be here most of next year, or at least half of it. But if you look at his career, he has been defined largely by being at his best in big games. And again, he is can defend multiple position players. So, and that matters, by the way, in these situational games, can you get the stop? And he can. Number 3, and I would not have had him nearly this high before the playoffs. I thought Giannis delivered. He still can't shoot, but he plays. I mean, listen, in transition, he's unstoppable. Within 4 feet, he's unstoppable. And he keeps working at his free throws. And I thought, you know what? I've never thought of him as clutch per se, but he's got such a unique personality. He's totally unbothered by the noise. He just doesn't care. And I love that about him. So I'd put him at 3. I think I'd put LeBron at 2. LeBron is not the defender he used to be, but he is such a Swiss Army knife. You can ask LeBron, like Magic Johnson, I need 25 points. I need 18 assists. LeBron can do anything. He is not the defender he once was. And, you know, would he be around for a game 6 or 7? There are these injuries things now I am thinking about with LeBron. And I would put him just behind Kevin Durant, number 1, who I think is the greatest offensive player in the game. And for the record, Durant doesn't get enough credit for this. He can guard multiple positions and is a very willing defender. Kevin's not strong, so he's not real trunky, so you can push him around a little. But Kevin can really defend, and he doesn't get a lot of credit. Kyrie's awful. Harden's not very good. Kevin Durant can defend. And I think he's the greatest offensive player right now in the game. Mid-range, 3, driving the basket. Their argument, I mean, as great as Magic was, he wasn't. This is a scorer. As great as LeBron is, I don't think he's as natural as Kevin as a scorer. So I think right now, game 7, Durant's hard not to take. The only thing, I mean, and what's funny about Kevin, people could say, well, you know, he looked exhausted against Milwaukee. You know, everybody was banged up and hurt. And the truth is, Milwaukee was so dang big, and they kept throwing bodies at Durant. And you were asking him off an ACL or whatever injury, he had to play 48 minutes. Guys have a right to get tired. But you go back and look at Brooklyn losing to Milwaukee, and now we know Milwaukee won the title. What Milwaukee really did to Phoenix and Brooklyn, it was just an army of Portis and Lopez and Giannis and Drew Holiday. They just wore Phoenix and the Brooklyn Nets down. And it's a thing. Like, you get to the postseason, P.J. Tucker, you don't think of Bobby Portis as being vital. But when he's the third big I have to face in a row, and Kevin Durant's really the only big they had they could depend on, it wore him down. So that would be my top 10. Any massive disagreements, Joy?
No, I would move Dame up to above. I would swap Dame and Luka, because Luka hasn't had He's put up points, but hasn't had a lot of success in the
postseason. That's fair. And Luka's awful on defense, too.
So I would move Dame up.
You'd put Dame 6 and Luka 8.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would do that. And probably right now, I might move Giannis above LeBron right now, just out of respect.
Listen, I think I did this a year ago. I don't think I had Giannis.
Well, I mean, Giannis had questions about what he was capable of doing, and he answered them. So,
well,
yeah. Something's
like, not true until it is.
Yeah, I mean,
people always do that. Well, Colin, I have a clip from 3 years ago. Well, something's not true until it is. The bottom line is,
you're also allowed to change your mind once you get new information. You are permitted to change your mind when you get new information.
But 4 years ago, you said, listen, I don't believe in UFOs, but if one lands in my yard, I believe in UFOs. I don't believe in ghosts, but if I go home today in my closet and some lady starts talking to me from a spirit, then I believe in ghosts. It's not true until it's true. And Giannis wasn't clutch until he was clutch.
Well, I think the government did tell us they were UFOs. There's just so much going
on. Well,
it
was a tic-tac.
Like
it could have been I don't know. There's a lot of stuff out there, and I just don't believe most of it. All right, great job today, Joy and Ryan. We'll see you tomorrow in L.A. It's The Herd.